to the worldwide broadcast of the Brower and Brower Show with your host, Ted and Austin Brower, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a blessed afternoon today. It's actually really, really nice, sunny, hot weather in Florida, which is a nice change from the rain. So that's, you know, actually enjoyable, something different. And, Dad, I know you had some articles on Clinton you wanted to bring up again, the Wicked Witch of Washington. So why don't you start off with that this morning?
Thanks, Austin. I have a friend of mine. Her name's Alexandra Bruce, and she has a website called Forbidden Knowledge TV. And I suggest that all of you sign up for her daily emails that are free. Doesn't cost anything. And she's extremely liberal. Okay, she was raised. She went to an Ivy League school. She went to Brown. But she's very, very nice, and she's absolutely brilliant, and she absolutely hates Hillary Clinton. And, you know, which is odd to me because, you know, normally, you know, she'd be Democrat and she'd be voting for him, the Clintons, but she can't take it because she's very smart and she has actually reasoning skills. And she wrote a little article with a video that came, I'll give you the video link too in a second. And here's what she said. Troubling news. At least five anti-Clinton activists have died under unusual circumstances over the past few weeks. None of these deaths are being reported on the mainstream media, according to the creators of the YouTube video I'm showing you. Two very vocal anti-Clinton activists, Victor Thorne, the man who coined the term Clinton body count, was found shot to death on a mountaintop on his property on August the 1st on his 44th birthday. Ironically, he is now on the list of the Clinton body count. Thorne was a journalist of the American Free Press and the author of the definitive trilogy of books about the Clintons, which details their involvement in cocaine trafficking with the use of the small airport in Mena, Arkansas, while Bill was governor, the litany of sexual assaults and rapes committed by Bill Clinton, and lastly, the murders of those closely connected to the Clintons and who pose a threat to their ascendancy to power. Thorne was well regarded among his peers, and those who know him are not pleased by his death. According to the investigator, Thorne had appeared many times on the Russell Scott show, and he told the host, "Russell, if I'm ever found dead, I was murdered. I would never kill myself." You know, Austin, I said the same thing last year when I broke the story on Nagalace. I told the entire world on the Hagman and Hagman show that I was not suicidal, that I was not on medication, and that if something happened to me, that this is because this is somebody's done something to me. Thorne's brother has said it was a suicide, but you might say that too if you didn't want to end up like Sean himself. Less than 24 hours later, on August the 2nd, another well-known activist, lawyer Sean Lucas, was found dead on his bathroom floor by his girlfriend, who said he was in good health. He's shown in his clip on July the 1st, 2016, cheerily serving both the DNC and Debbie Wasserman Schultz with a nationwide class action lawsuit for fraud in rigging the primary against Bernie Sanders. The creators of this clip could only think that he was also murdered, not only to silence him and to stop the lawsuit, but to intimidate others who might pursue the case any further. No cause of death has been announced other than that he died in his sleep, okay, on the bathroom floor. I don't know how that happened. Next, 47-year-old Joe Montano, aide to Hillary Clinton's pick for Vice President Tim Kaine and former chair of the DNC prior to Debbie Wasserman Schultz, died on July the 25th of an apparent heart attack on the day of the commencement of the Democratic convention and of the simultaneous release of the scandalous WikiLeaks emails. Next, 27-year-old Seth Conrad Rich, a member of the DNC, was shot twice early on a Sunday morning in Washington, D.C., as he spoke to his girlfriend on his cell phone while walking home from her apartment. Rich was a web developer who is thought to have had the U.S. entire database of voters. He is thought to have had firsthand knowledge of voter fraud, and there are unconfirmed rumors that he was about to testify before the FBI. Julian Assange has strongly hinted that the DNC emails he leaked were provided by a DNC insider. WikiLeaks has gone so far as to offer a $20,000 reward for information on the murder of Seth Rich. If no evidence provides leads to a conviction, all contributors get their money back. NBC reported the murder as an attempted robbery, however nothing was stolen from him. Hillary invoked his shooting death at the Democratic convention and even remarked that it was unreported, saying weapons of war do not belong on our streets. They're spinning it to basically make it assault weapons again. Just a few days before that, as reported here previously, former UN official John Ash, 61, was found dead in his home. The UN initially reported that he had died of a heart attack, but local police later reported his death to have been because he had his throat accidentally crushed. with a barbell. His cause of death was almost worthy of a mafia film, whereby his crushed windpipe might discourage other rats from singing. Ash had been indicted and was scheduled to testify in a bribery scandal involving a Chinese national who's a major donor of the Clinton campaigns. The accusations were that he had helped smuggle $4.5 million into the U.S. without saying what it was for. I mean, this just goes on and on and on. And now the clip, let me give you the link on this, because, guys, if you want to watch the entire clip, you can. You go directly to YouTube and watch this. The clip is Clinton body count plus 5 in just 6 weeks. That's the clip. If you guys want to look at the whole video of that, Clinton body count plus 5 in just 6 weeks. It was just put out a couple days ago. It already has 600,000 views. So this is a major, major thing that's going out right now. But, of course, the Wicked Witch of Benghazi pretty much is Teflon-coated. And, of course, her medical records are coming out now. We can talk about that if we have time today. And there's some major, major health problems with her. So, yeah. What do you think about all these people just kind of checking out by accident around these people, Austin? I mean, this reminds me of the Clinton White House and the Clinton governorship again in Arkansas, which you were too young to remember any of those things.
That's what I was just about to say. One thing I do remember reading about a lot, though, especially during the time of the Waco and Ruby Ridge and all that, was the same things constantly kept coming up, where anybody that basically crossed them or was going to testify or got caught, they always ended up dying by some incredibly strange way. Like that guy, they find him dead on his bathroom floor. The other guy with a crushed windpipe. These are very, very strange ways to find people dead, and they're always, when you hear them like this, they're always classified as, you know, a suicide or natural causes. But when you start putting the pieces together and you start seeing everything this satanic family's been involved in, it's pretty clear evidence that this is not by accident. There's no way with a statistical probability this many people related to the Clinton this closely could all die this quickly by strange causes like that. It just doesn't happen. So there's only one other option to basically conclude to, and that's that they're involved in those deaths. But they are usually pretty good about covering their tracks. That's why they've never been caught for any of it, I guess. I mean, I'm assuming that's why they never busted.
Well, you know, the CIA's had heart attack guns for years. They showed them before Congress. Now we have weapons that do the same thing with frequency. You know, they basically kill people now from 30, 40 feet away and never even get close to them. That's why I believe that Fred Bell died. And this is the guy who came on the Jesse Ventura show and talked about the weapons of mass destruction they had on orbiting space platforms, and they could lay waste entire cities with these weapons and, in fact, wipe out entire areas of the country if they wanted to with these particle beam emitters that they had built for Star Wars that he had built. And he talked about it on the Death Ray. If you watch the Death Ray show with Jesse Ventura, Conspiracy Theory, he interviews Fred right at the beginning, and within a couple of days after doing the interview with Jesse, he was dead. And again, he had a heart attack, and they even talk in that show about heart attack weapons that can be used to stop the heart. You got to remember, the heart is an electrical charge. It's basically an electrical machine. If you run an energy surge through it, that's why electricity stops the heart. You will stop the heart. If you run microwaves through it, you will stop the heart in high enough concentrations. In fact, I had some kids here today. They were doing a deliverance of stuff here at the house. And when I started talking to them, I started talking about their cell phones and all the other stuff, and they had no idea what I was talking about. So I said, guys, listen to me. Something happened on 9/11. You know, whether it was a particle beam weapon, whether it was nanothermite, whether it were mini nukes, whether it was any of these things, something turned those buildings to dust. And I pulled out Judy Wood's book, Where Do the Towers Go? And we went through and leafed through a few pages on that. I said, guys, you need to kind of wake up. These guys are in their early 20s. And I said, you need to start asking these questions. Why were people jumping out of the tower way above the fire line before they had a chance to be rescued? They were diving out of the towers head first. I mean, dozens of people committed suicide jumping out of the towers. And Judy Wood, she postulates that the reason they were jumping out of the towers is that building was being hit by a particle beam emitter from outer space, which is invisible. You wouldn't see it coming down. And the building itself was being microwaved with energy. So those people were being cooked internally inside of that building, and they were in so much excruciating pain because of it that they were basically diving out of the windows to escape the pain. So there's a lot of stuff that we don't know about that these guys are up to on an ongoing basis. And, guys, you just got to stay awake and stay frosty. Now, I personally believe the reason a lot of alternative radio talk show hosts don't get nailed is because we're not material witnesses to the fact. We're not the ones who are involved in doing the research, where we can't testify because all the information we have is hearsay. In other words, we're not the ones who actually saw it. It's like if a police officer stops you and he doesn't see you do something, then it's just your word against somebody else's word, and he really can't do anything unless there were other witnesses or a videotape. So that's the biggest problem that we have, you know, with these guys that are all dying, is these are all material witnesses, Austin, and they're actually involved in seeing what's going on, and they're actually the ones that could testify in court and put these guys away, give them the death penalty if they needed to. They can't do that if the material witnesses disappear. That's why so many of these guys doing the research and alternative health care have dropped dead. That's why when we talked about NAGLACE and GCMAF on the Hagman Show last summer, a year ago, I said I've never been involved with GCMAF. I have no idea where to source that product from. I've never been involved with NAGLACE or research on NAGLACE. I've never been involved in any of this. I made sure I specified that on the show with Hagman, because Hagman has, gosh, he has, what, 18 million listeners a week now. So what I didn't want to be in a situation with, that since all of his shows pretty much are transcribed now, you know, by the government officials, according to Doug, I didn't want to be in a situation that I was saying stuff that would get them to come look at me, because I no longer have an open clinic down here in Central Florida, so I don't have the material evidence of this stuff working, and I'm not the doctor who's injecting this or doing double-blind clinical research studies with other kids and other families working with their autistic children. I don't do any of that. So that's one of the things that protects you as an alternative talk show host. And then, so as long as you don't go stupid, you know, I know that one of the alternative talk show hosts, he was up there with that big standoff up there in, you know, in Washington, wherever that was, last year, and he ended up getting himself arrested. He's still in jail as far as I know. And so that's what you got to do. You just got to be careful, and you got to when you're going to spend chips on stuff, you got to spend the chips carefully, and you got to think through what the blowback's going to be. And that's what I always try to do, is I always try to minimize blowback with everything that we try to do. That's why I only try to stay with the facts, and I only try to quote other people, and sometimes I'll tell you what I know, but quite frankly, I've not seen any of these guys drink blood, except for, now this is an interesting story here. This is, you're going to love this, Austin. This is from Breaking Down the News. Billionaire PayPal founder Peter Thiel, he was the one who spoke at the Republican convention. He's the gay guy, right? And listen to this article that was written about him. This is true. Billionaire PayPal Thiel said that he believes that transfusions of blood, here we go with the blood again, from young people can reverse the aging process and allow them to live vastly extended lifespans. This, some people are postulating this may be how these elites are living so long, and why Henry Kissinger is so old, et cetera, that they don't die. In an interview with Inc.com's Jeff Berkoficky, Thiel said that the practice is known as parabiosis. It is the closest modern science that has come to creating an anti-aging panacea. Thiel, the hedge founder who has acted as a delegate for Donald Trump and spoke at the 2016 National Convention, is reportedly obsessed with defying death and extending the human lifespan. He has injected his funds into startups that are experimenting ways to forestall the body's inevitable death and decline. I'm looking into this parabosis stuff, Thiel told Berkoficky, where they inject young blood of older mice into young blood of young mice into older mice, and they found they had a massive rejuvenating effect. And he goes, I think that there are a lot of things that have been strangely underexplored. This whole program started back in 1950 with this parabosis. And he said that a California company called Ambrosia is conducting human trials in which healthy people age 35 or older receive transfusions of blood from people under the age of 25. Participants pay $8,000 to take part, and their health is closely monitored. Ambrosia's founder, Jeff Carmazine, told Berkoficky that participants experience a reversal of aging systems across every major organ system. Again, you're getting all those young hormones into the blood again. Furthermore, the results appear to be long-lasting. The effects seem to be almost permanent, he said. It's almost like resetting the gene expression. Now, this is where this whole thing gets a little bit funny here with this. Apparently, what happened is Gawker, the online magazine, reported that it received a tip claiming that Thiel is spending $40,000 per quarter, or $10,000 per month approximately, to get an infusion of blood from an 18-year-old based on research conducted at Stanford on extending the lives of mice. Thiel is locked in a grudge match with Gawker, who outed him as gay in 2007. Resenting the intrusion into his private life, Thiel quietly funded a multi-million dollar lawsuit against the website by pro wrestler Hulk Hogan. Man, this is a small world. The lawsuit was successful, and Gawker is now struggling against bankruptcy and is due to go up for auction later this summer. On Monday, Gawker's editor-in-chief, Nick Denton, filed for personal bankruptcy. So this is what they're talking about in this article, and it starts going to all the different cultures around the world that have drunk blood and used blood. And this is where a lot of this stuff from the vampires comes from, Austin. You know, you hear these things with these vampires, they were like immortal, and they were drinking blood. Well, we don't know if they were infusing the blood directly into their blood or drinking the blood. We know with the human sacrificial networks, according to Ted Gunderson, that they torture these people to death, and then they take their blood and they drink the blood. Now, they also build up all these hormones inside of the body from drinking of the blood, and they get all the excitable hormones into the body. I'm going to give you a list of those right now. I'm having to walk into the other room while we're talking because I was doing this show last night with Dave Hodges, and that's why I want to kind of briefly cover it today, because I wanted everybody to realize that this stuff is for real and that people need to be aware of what's going on, and that now they're actually openly using blood transfusions from younger people into older people to extend the life. And Dave was asking me if I thought if this is how the elites were doing this and staying alive so long. And I told him, I said, I don't know. And I said, but this guy apparently has been outed for it all, and now he's being involved in all this. He's trying to talk to everybody how great this thing is. And, you know, I don't know where to fall with this, because I know this stuff's going to work. I know if you start putting the blood in there, it has to work, because it all makes sense from a biochemical standpoint. The only problem, you have to be very, very careful, because if these people have diseases that you're getting this blood from, I don't know if they're using whole blood. I'm not sure what in the world they're doing, because the sad part about this is this stuff gets really close to the satanic stuff with the drinking of the blood. But when you torture a person, you create in their blood from the adrenaline, catecholamines, adrenaline, epinephrine, dopamine, and also adrenochromes. And when you drink this blood, it actually gives a euphoria to the people who are drinking it. It helps to restructure their DNA, because the plasma physics is in the blood. This is what these Satanists do, because they literally consume the harmonic frequency of the person by doing what they do to them in these torture episodes. These guys are a bunch of sickos is what they are, and they don't care who they do this to, if it's young children, if it's babies, if it's adults, they don't care. Preferably, what they say is they like young boys under the age of 8, 10, 12, who have not really gone into puberty yet, with blonde hair and blue eyes. That's their preference of who they like to torture and drink the blood from. So this is some weird stuff that these guys are involved in. You say, well, I don't believe any of that. Okay, don't believe it. You're probably better off not to believe it if you don't believe it. I don't want to believe it. I just have read so much of this stuff, and I know how these guys are, and invariably when you dig down inside of this ditch, it always comes back with Luciferism and Satanism and the drinking of blood and human sacrifice. And remember, a couple of years ago, they found 50,000 people, children, who had been basically murdered up in Canada, you know, through the Catholic Church up there, through a diocese up there, and they found this mass grave. I mean, crazy stuff that goes on that we don't know about, which all goes back to druidic worship. And the druids are these nutbags that run around doing all of this stuff, and they learn all of this stuff from the fallen angels, and that's who they are. I mean, let me read you this. I wrote this morning. Somebody was saying to me that Donald Trump might be a Mason. I don't believe that. Let me tell you why. Here's what I wrote this morning. Here's the issues. Zionists run the planet. At the top levels, the Bible calls them the synagogue of Satan. It talks about in the book of Revelation. And it also talks about they're the children of the devil. It talks about in the book of John. Jesus straight called them out. These people are druidic. They are not the blood of Abraham. People are scared to call them out because they're afraid that they're being called a racist. They run the banking system through their Babylonian money magic. The hierarchy literally sacrifices humans and drinks their blood. Many of these people are witches and warlocks and wizards, and not the good kind. It's not the fun, ha-ha guys. They control the energy fields on the planet, creating altered states of reality. They literally control the overall hologram we live in. As Christians, they have no authority over us. They're under our feet because we are in covenant with the Most High God, and through His Son, Jesus Christ, we are redeemed. Because we are linked to God via the covenant through the blood of Christ and the Holy Spirit, God shares with us a small portion of His omnipresence, omnipotence, and omniscience. This way, through faith and prayer, which are scalar waves, God allows us to control our immediate hologram for us and our family, to literally change the fabric of time-space. This is why they hate Christians, all of these Satanists. As far as Trump being a Mason, I consider it to be more of a Zionist propaganda. To them, the Masons are fellow Satanists, and they would not out a fellow Satanist. If we as Christians knew who we were and we prayed accordingly, We could literally change the holographic imaging overnight by recreating the fabric of space-time. That's what the Druids in the synagogue of Satan are scared of. That's why there's an all-out war against Christianity. You guys, there's a real brief synopsis of shows that I've done that are hours long. But that kind of sums up everything that I want to tell you guys, and that's why this is a good show to let people listen to. You think, well, that all sounds crazy to me. Well, it sounds crazy to me, too. I'm not going to try to tell you it doesn't sound crazy. I'm just telling you it's the only thing that makes any sense. I mean, and then again, we talked about the autism the other day and how this autistic stuff is getting out of hand and how they want more and more and more autistic children, and we have to ask ourselves a question. Why is that okay with these guys? Why do they want so many autistic children? And again, I believe for that is the reason they want so many autistic children. It gives them another human body to inhabit when that child basically departs, because the toxicity levels are so bad in that body, that child just checks out. But again, that's my opinion. I have absolutely nothing to back that up or to prove it, but nothing makes sense. Why do they want 1 out of 50 kids with autism right now? Then they're saying by 2025 it's going to be 1 in 2. And they're going to say by 2035, all boys will have autism. By 2037, all girls will have autism. Why do they want that? They see that happening. They know it's happening, but they don't care. They refuse to do anything about it. So there's an underlying motive here. If it's for depopulation, if it's for destroying the infrastructure of the United States and not letting us have people who want to work, if it's for mass genocide and euthanasia, I don't know what these sickos are doing this for. I'm just telling you they're doing it, and they're doing it for a certain reason that nobody really understands but they themselves. Because there's no way on God's green earth, if you've ever been around an autistic child or had to raise one or been in the same room with that child, you would ever wish that on any child. It's horrible. So guys, listen to me. You can immunize these kids if you want. It's up to you. But don't come back and send me letters like I've gotten so many times. I wish I'd have listened to you. I didn't listen to you. My kids got autism. It's a horrible thing for me to hear and read those letters, especially if you've been forewarned. So anyhow, that's enough of my pontification, Austin. Well, what's going on? What's your first story, buddy?
Oh, well, the first thing I wanted to touch base on was a quick little kind of just FYI on Starbucks coffee and all the sugar and everything everybody's drinking right now. I ran into some friends the other day, and they were drinking some Starbucks. And I hate Starbucks, guys. I'll be honest with you. They're so anti-Second Amendment. When the owner and CEO of Starbucks came out and basically said that if you're a Second Amendment supporter and you're a concealed weapon carrier, we really don't care for your business. You can go somewhere else. Not that I was ever a Starbucks fan to begin with, but at that point I decided that they would never see a penny of my money for the rest of my life. So I'm always very, very adamant about that when I see people drinking Starbucks that I know. But secondly, wasting money on $6, $7 coffee drinks is a complete and total just abysmal waste. But on the health note of what I'm talking about now is most people have no idea what they're putting in their body with this stuff. I saw, someone was drinking the other day, it was a caramel frappuccino. I don't know much about it. I looked it up online, though, because I was just curious about it. It was a big one. It was like a venti or a grande, something like that. So I pulled up nutritional facts online. For the 24-ounce coffee caramel frappuccino, it has 17 grams of fat, 84 grams of carbs, and of those carbs, 81 grams are derived from sugar, pushing it over 510 calories for that one single coffee drink. Guys, this is not something you want to put in your body. A lot of people think sodas are bad. You want to really pack on some body fat in a hurry. Start drinking stuff that has almost 100 grams of sugar with 20-plus grams of fat at the same time. Your body cannot metabolize that many carbohydrates with that much fat. I don't care who you are or what you're engaged in. It's not something you need to put in your body. And not even that, you're not even talking about a food. You're talking over 500 calories just from a single drink. Not healthy, not good at all, not something you want to do. If you really are adamant you just have to have your coffee fixed, go somewhere and get, you know, dark coffee, get an espresso coffee, get something small. I'm not endorsing drinking coffee, but don't be drinking this garbage stuff, guys. $6-7 a glass for 500 calories of garbage? No, stay away from it. And what's happening is more and more people now I'm seeing are starting to really put on a lot of weight. People I knew in the past used to be in really good shape. They're all starting to get really thick. And I'm not picking on anybody right now, but we're starting to see this epidemic in the United States now where this obesity is starting to grow just out of control. And this is an article now that just came out of the Military Times. For the first time in almost 20 years now, the military is rewriting its body composition standards and methods used to determine whether troops are too fat to serve. The review comes amid rising concerns about obesity among civilians. It is shrinking the pool of qualified prospective recruits, and the active duty force, a rising number of overweight troops, is posing serious risk to readiness and health care. The current policy requires service members to maintain a maximum of 26% body fat for men and 36% for women. A lot of people still think those standards are too high, but people don't realize is that if troops fail to pass this test, they're enrolled in remedial fitness programs, which they should be, and, you know, they need to understand that this is their career, and being fit and able to perform your duties in the event of an emergency is key. Many people believe these fitness standards are a vital component of military profession, and the rules that stress the importance of military bearing and ultimately saving lives on the battlefield. And what's brought this up now is the obesity in the active duty force has soared in the past several decades. In 2001, there was only 1.6% of the force received an outpatient diagnosis of obesity by the Department of Defense. That now is more than tripled to almost 6% in 2010. And it's unclear where these numbers are actually standing now, as the Defense Health Agency has refused to fulfill Military Times request for more recent obesity data. And this, in my opinion, goes all back not only the health problems that we're seeing, but the military being gutted from the inside out, allowing the military population to get fatter and fatter and fatter and not stop this from happening. It's becoming a serious issue, and people need to realize if you want to go in the military and serve active duty, that's your job requirement, is to stay in at least moderately decent physical shape. That tied me back to the Starbucks garbage frappuccino, because so many people are wasting their calories and their days and their money and their food on these empty drinks all the time, with the Red Bulls and the Coca-Colas and the Mountain Dews and the Starbucks, and it's just useless calories that serve no useful purpose in the body. So I wanted to kind of touch base on that today, because it's been kind of bothering me, because I've been seeing a lot of it lately.
Well, Austin, also, almost all of the flavors they use at Starbucks are all synthetic chemicals. They don't.
Oh,
use
yeah.
Well,
I didn't even go into that. I was just going from a caloric standpoint, but you're absolutely right.
I remember years ago I did a Seattle seminar. And gosh, it was we probably had 10,000 people there, and I remember they got really mad at me when I talked about number 10 on the top 10 list being coffee. Because I tell people don't drink coffee, because, you know, that's where Starbucks is headquartered, out of Seattle.
Yep.
I had no idea Starbucks was said, you know, 20 years ago I didn't know they were headquartered out of Seattle. It wouldn't have made a difference. I still would have talked about coffee. Here's the thing with coffee. Coffee elevates cortisol. Cortisol is a stress hormone. It's the same hormone that happens when you're in a flight or fight syndrome. It also keeps you awake at night and messes up your circadian rhythm, or your natural body function rhythms, as far as sleep and being awake. Cortisol is what elevates in the morning when you start to get in the morning, because your body starts getting hungry. It elevates cortisol to agitate you, to get you up out of bed. You drink a cup of coffee and you're 50 years old. It takes 3 to 4 days to get your cortisol back to normal. I can't drink coffee anymore. Very rarely do I have any. I can't really remember. I think it was a year and a half, 2 years ago. Ever since we discovered the purple sticks, I always use them now. They don't affect my sleep at all, because they don't elevate cortisol. But the reason people drink the Red Bulls, the reason people drink the coffee, the reason that people drink the sodas and the Mountain Dew and all that stuff, is because they feel so bad internally, they have no energy. And their body chemistry is not working, because they're not metabolizing B vitamins properly. And the mitochondria, they don't have any B vitamins, because they can't use anything that's not methylated. They can't use the B vitamins that you're taking in your body. And so the body basically gets run down, gets weaker and weaker and weaker. So what they do is they dump all these empty sugar calories and all this caffeine into their bodies, which gives them a pick-me-up. The problem is, it's a lie. Oh, after a period of time, you can drink coffee and you can go take a nap and go to bed after you've had 4 or 5 cups. I used to do that all the time when I was in college. You drink coffee, if your adrenals are tapped out, it doesn't work. You just sit there and drink six cups of coffee, go to bed, you don't get a good night's sleep, and you still fall right asleep. And that's the problem that people have. If people just stop drinking the coffee, they'll lose about 5 to 6 to 8 pounds of body fat within a couple of months, and not changing anything else, because cortisol stores body fat. Now, while we're talking about that, since we're already alcohol, alcohol reduces the production of an enzyme called lipase. So if you believe the globalist lies and they tell you to drink wine so you can stay healthy with your heart, it's a lie right out of hell. That's what it is. It's a lie out of hell. It's not true. If you read the research that was originally done calling it the French paradox, they say that if you do drink red wine, it will reduce your risk of heart disease because it has different compounds that are nutrient compounds in there. But you could take those same compounds by simply taking vitamins for those. But here's what it does say. We're not suggesting that you start drinking alcohol to reduce the risk of heart disease if you don't already drink, because it increases the risks of pancreatic cancer, liver cancer, cirrhosis of the liver, alcoholism, osteoporosis, and breast cancer. So they're telling you in that same study that they quote not to start drinking. And I've had so many friends who are Christians who start drinking alcohol, wine, every single night. Pretty soon they start craving the wine and they want to start drinking wine. Pretty soon they're turning into alcoholics. Pretty soon they're getting a divorce. Pretty soon they've ruined their marriages. They've ruined their lives. They've lost their jobs because they decided to get healthy by drinking wine. It's stupid. It doesn't work. All it does is make you fat, because it stops the production of an enzyme called lipase by up to 40% just with 1 ounce of alcohol. That's why you see these guys who get the beer guts. They drink, you know, 2 or 3 beers a day. It's no good, and it's a lie. It's another lie right out of the pit of hell. And here's the other thing, and why I'm talking about this for just a second. I remember when I was doing the seminars back in the 90s, I always kept my weight around 185 to 188, so I'm about 7 pounds over that right now. And I remember they were joking me one time. They always said, "Well, Ted, why are you so careful with your weight?" I said, "Well, if I waddle out on the platform weighing 300 pounds, who's going to listen to me and take any advice of me for my advice as far as what they should and shouldn't put in their bodies?" It's the same thing I tell you now. If you're listening to somebody who's out of shape, who's obese, who's fat, who drinks, who smokes, for health advice, you've got to be kidding me. If you're going to a doctor and that doctor's fat and he smokes and he drinks and he's telling you to drop a few pounds, go find yourself a skinny doctor who works out all the time and eats clean. Learn to listen to the people who know what they're talking about when it comes to health and fitness. You don't listen to overweight people telling you how to stay in shape or how to be healthy. It doesn't work that way. They're talking out of both sides of their mouth. They're telling you what to do, but they can't do it themselves. And it's sad that people listen and take advice from folks like that, because it's not necessary. We've got another friend of ours who lives in another state, and I'm not going to mention it to you. I helped the girl lose a whole bunch of weight years ago. Helped her lose about 80 pounds. And she moved to another state, started hitting the wine. Now she's up. Oh my gosh, she's like 240 when we helped her. We helped her drop down to like 150, 160. I think she's close to 90 pound weight loss. She actually started looking really, really good. She was in college. Now she's every bit of 300, maybe 320. She's huge. Started hitting the alcohol, hitting the wine every night. I mean, guys, it's not healthy. If you start gaining 3 or 4 pounds of weight a month, you better put the brakes on something quick, because something you're doing is messing with your metabolism and you need to stop it. Because 3 or 4 pounds is no big deal, but you put on 50 in 1 year, that's a nightmare. Now you got a bunch of weight to lose. That's why I've always set myself in the morning. I get on the scales every single morning. I use the bathroom. I get on the scales. I've got those balance beam scales that we used to have in our office. They're in my bathroom. And I get on those scales every morning. I log my weight in every day. And I would never allow myself to go over 199, period. I said, that's it. That's 10 pounds above my ideal weight where I need to be. Not going to do it. Well, now I've decided I'm not going to do that anymore. Now I want to weigh 188, 189. I'm going to reset that set point at 189. I'll keep you guys posted on it. But guys, it's 10 pounds. I got to lose 6 more pounds and I'm there. See, that's the thing that nobody gets. If you only got to lose 10 or 15 pounds, it's not a big deal if you ever get around to doing it. What you don't want to do is say, oh my gosh, I got to lose 150 pounds. I got to lose 200 pounds. I've let myself completely go. Then it becomes a major problem for your health, for your joints, for your liver, for your heart, for your brain, for your artery, for everything, because of the amount of blood you're having to pump through all those fat cells. So anyhow, that's my little pontification on that now today. Here's an article here for Germany. Germany's migrant rape crisis is spiraling out of control. So if you thought it had gotten any better in Germany, you're absolutely wrong. This is from Gatestone Institute. Sexual violence in Germany has reached epidemic proportions since Chancellor, the idiot Angela Merkel, the dummy Angela Merkel, the Sieg Heil Angela Merkel, allowed into the country more than 1 million, almost all male migrants from Africa, Asia, and the Middle East. Germany's migrant rape crisis has now spread to cities and towns in all 16 of Germany's states. Germany is effectively under siege. Public spaces are becoming increasingly perilous. Police have warned about a potential breakdown of public order this summer, when the young male immigrants are likely to see women lightly dressed. During the month of July in 2016, hundreds of German women and children were sexually assaulted by migrants. The youngest victim was 9, the oldest was 79. Attacks occurred at beaches, bike trails, cemeteries, discotheques, grocery stores, pop festivals, parking garages, playgrounds, schools, malls, taxis, public transportation, buses, trams, subways, public parks, public squares, public pools, and public restrooms. Predators are lurking everywhere, and there is safety nowhere now in Germany. This is what these blithering idiots want to do to the United States, where they're bringing in hundreds of thousands of illegal Muslims who have not been properly vetted every single year into the United States, who want to be under Sharia law, and if you don't have your head covered, they think you're a whore, and it's okay to rape you, or to touch you, or to fondle you, or to grope you. Bunch of sicko wackos. Our cultures don't mix. They need to figure out if they want to be here or they want to stay in their miserable country they were in Africa. But guys, this has to change. And if we let the wicked witch of Benghazi into the office, she's going to keep bringing these guys in until we have the same mess here as we have in Germany. What do you think, Austin?
Well, one thing I do have to say is that, I mean, I would at least hope for the fact that the Patriots, if this does start to escalate in the United States, the Patriots come together and start standing with one another, because one thing that is completely different about Germany is they have been fully disarmed. And the thing about it is, when you start having pepper spray and blank guns and stun guns and little incidental non-lethal weapons like that for defense, it's a very difficult to have any type of serious deterrent when four, five, six of these Middle Eastern animals, is what they are, start chasing you down the street. But I'll tell you what, you pull a nice 357, 38 special, 45 ACP out of your purse, out of your holster, on your person, and you start discharging into somebody because you're in fear of your life, that's a whole different story, and people completely understand and respect that in a whole different manner than they do a stun gun or pepper spray. So that's one thing that we do have going for us in the United States, but I would like to prevent any type of violence from that from occurring in the United States and just stop that from happening. First off, but you're absolutely right, it has gotten completely out of hand in Germany. I printed off this article and I was reading it earlier. It almost made me nauseous just reading it, because we have family over there, and it's sad to see what our homeland is turning into by these just absolute animalistic monkey. They're a nightmare to deal with. I mean, these kind of people don't even belong in a civilized society. They need to be put on their own island, and then they can just go rape each other all they want. But this is not acceptable in any type of civilized society at all. It never has been, never will be. But for some reason, these guys think it's really normal behavior. It's frustrating, man. It really is.
Well, it's awful is what it is. See, they've got to understand that there's no reason that they can, that they don't, if they're not going to act like decent human beings, just stay where they are. Don't come over here and bring us their trash. But see, that's what Obama wants. Is the complete and destruction of the United States. It's Cloward and Piven. These guys can't integrate into our country because they've never had our upbringing and they don't have our culture. What's your next story, Oz?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. This is interesting now. Israeli officials are now demanding that the Obama administration pony up even more money than what has been on the table now. The package proposed by the White House calls for an unprecedented $40 billion in military aid, the single largest appropriation of foreign financial aid in world history, significantly higher than the previous $30 billion agreed upon, signed 10 years ago. The Israeli PM expressed unwillingness earlier in the year to accept anything less than $50 billion. I don't know what these people are doing over there as far as if they're just smoking too much heroin. I don't know. I don't know why they think that's even acceptable to demand any money at all. As far as I'm concerned, I tell them to go pound salt and kick bricks, whatever they want to do over there in their Middle Eastern country. But I'm not giving them a single penny if they want to act this stinking ungrateful. $40 billion, the largest amount of foreign aid in the history of history, and they're not happy with it. They want more from us. One thing I do have to say, if Trump gets in office, he's already made that extremely clear that his foreign aid policy will be, you support us with your money, with your military, with your support, and we'll help support you back. If you're not willing to do that and be reciprocal, we're not giving you anything. You can find another country to go give you $50 billion. They're smoking dope over there. It's ridiculous. I mean, I don't even understand that article, honestly, when I read it. I was like, are you kidding me right now? Are you kidding me? It's a joke.
Well, the thing that I don't understand is that, you know, why are we giving any money away and borrowing it to get. First of all, Israel.
There you go.
Okay, they're socialist state. Okay, they're communist state is what they are. They're a Rothschild fiefdom. Okay, it's not what you think over there. I've been there. Okay, it's not what you think it is. And you know, it's just they're the most racist state on the planet as far as the way they treat Palestinians. And it's just a big mess over there. And our involvement with any of it, I believe we should support Israel with prayer. I believe we should pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I believe we should be doing all of that. But these guys have got so many nuclear weapons. The Rothschilds who own the planet, this is their fiefdom. They can fund it any way they want to fund it. It doesn't make any difference. They don't need our help or our military aid. They just want our military technology over there, Austin. They want the bombs and the planes and the jets and the artillery and the missiles. That's what they want. They want our defensive strategy and our offensive strategy given to them, so they don't have to produce anything like that. And the sad part about it is, we just do it. Just do it. Just give it to them. I mean, the whole thing's just nonsense to me. It shouldn't be happening. Trump is blasting the Republicans in name only, the rhinos who have attacked him. And he says, they are the ones who allowed the rise of ISIS. This is from Adlan Salazar. Former national security officials, including desperate remnants of the George W. Bush administration, wrote a letter opposing a Trump presidency, declaring, none of us will ever vote for Trump. From a foreign policy perspective, Donald Trump is not qualified to be president and commander-in-chief. Of course not. He's opposing their secret societies. Indeed, we are convinced it would be dangerous as a president and would put to risk our country's national security and well-being. Are you kidding me? These are the same guys that created ISIS. We are convinced that in the Oval Office, he'd be one of the most reckless presidents in the American history. No, he won't. He wants to clean up the mess they did. Rather than attacking them outright, the Trump campaign instead thanked the 50 Republicans for coming out of the woods and exposing themselves to the American people. The names of this letter are the ones the American people should look to for to answers on why the world is in a mess. And we want to thank them for coming forward so everyone in the country who knows who deserves the blame for making the world such a dangerous place. The Trump camp responded. Excellent response, by the way. They are nothing more than the failed Washington elite looking to hold onto their power, and it's time that they are held accountable for their actions. I have nothing but amen to say to that. What do you think, Oz?
No, absolutely. You're 100% right on that. And this is another article, too, just going back to the government as far as what is going on. I talked about yesterday about the Pentagon and their $6.5 trillion that they've lost over the last few years that they can't even account for. The annual federal budget for the United States government now is larger than expected, of course it is, and is now projected to reach almost $600 billion this year, which is going to be $49 billion more than what was recorded last year. The government collected almost $2.7 trillion just in taxes alone in the first 10 months of fiscal 2016, which exceeded the amount that was collected last year to date by almost $10 billion, yet we're still pushing more than a $50 billion deficit more than last year, a totaling up to almost $600 billion for this year. I don't know where everybody keeps spending all this money. I've looked at the United States budget multiple times when they've released it multiple years in a row, and I don't understand how they can't shave some of this stuff off. But then when you start seeing stuff like I talked about yesterday with the $6.5 trillion that just went missing from the Pentagon that nobody can account for, and Israel that wants $50 billion because they said they want it, you start realizing this is why we're borrowing money we don't have to give it away to people that don't need it, because we're completely insolvent now. And this is what the entire globalist plan was to bring down the United States from the inside out, and they're doing a phenomenal job of it. We gotta take back our government, man. There's no other option left.
The only person who's willing to do that is Donald Trump. By the way, when Hillary was over here in Orlando a few nights ago, and she got to talk to her 50 people in her rally, this is it. Sadiq Mateen, the man who ran for president of Afghanistan and who's also the father of the Orlando nightclub shooter, attended the Hillary Clinton rally in Kissimmee, Florida, placing himself prominently behind the presidential candidate as she spoke to her supporters. What the H-E double sticks is wrong with these Democrats? When reporters asked Mateen why he supported Clinton, he replied, Hillary Clinton is good for the United States versus Donald Trump, who has no solutions. He showed reporters a sign he made in support of Clinton, calling for more and more gun controls. His son, the nutbag who shot up the Orlando club, is now having his dad sitting behind Clinton at the rally in Kissimmee. Are the Democrats this stupid, or is it this much in your face that this is what they're planning on doing, and they're letting us know where this is going, and there's nothing we can do to stop it? I mean, this is untenable to me. Like, I mean, it's so crazy, Austin. I cannot believe that this story actually happened, which I know that it did, but what is wrong with the Democrats? Maybe they should think, this is the father of the man who shot 50 people in Orlando. Probably don't need to have him on camera with Hillary. Probably not a good idea. Maybe, just maybe, what do you think? Oh, but no, he has to be there. There you go. So there you go. So what do you think, Oz?
No, that's, I think you're absolutely right. I think it's that they're that blatant and open about it now that they simply don't care. They're trying to shove it in our face. That's what I told you a couple weeks ago when the FBI came out and said, "Oh yeah, no, we're not doing anything with Hillary. We're dropping everything. It's good to go. Everything's cool, guys. Don't worry about it. Just keep watching your American Idol. Don't bother figuring any of this stuff out." That's exactly what it is. It's blatantly in your face now. They're telling. I mean, you told me that so many times, Dad. In all these movies we see, they're showing us what they're going to do. They're showing us what they've done. They have to tell us what they're doing before they do it. This is exactly what they're doing. They're blatantly coming out now and not even trying to hide it anymore. They're just flat out saying, yeah, this is what we're doing. We got the shooter's dad behind us now, and we're trying to act like it's doing something as far as productive, but we really know it's blatant hypocrisy, and it's in our face to show us they're going to do whatever they want to do, whenever they want to do it, and basically we need to sit down and like it. But I don't like it. I'm not going to sit down. I want to keep doing this show. I want to keep waking people up. I want to keep getting patriots trained down here in Florida and the rest of the country, and I want America to know and the globalists to know that we're not going to stand down, and we're not going to sit here and take this like nothing happened. We will stand up for what we believe in, and it doesn't matter what happens in the future, we will know we did the very best we could, and we left it all on the floor.
That's right. I mean, this is Tavistock programming on steroids.
Yep.
Renee's, Sigmund Freud, the two wacko Sabbateans. This is their programming and the Leipzig connection, training our children to believe all of this stuff in the schools. This is straight up Hegelian dialectic, all of this stuff that we're seeing now, but we're awake and we are understanding what they're doing. It's kind of like this. They've put a shock collar on us. They told us not to take it off. And they shock us and shock us and shock us, and they put us in some kind of altered state mentally, like they did in the trench warfare, which is why this whole thing with Tavistock got started, was in trench warfare and working with these people who had been shell-shocked, who couldn't think anymore, who were basically in a different state. And they're trying to get us all into that state so they can manipulate and do whatever they want to do to us. Well, guess what? I'm sick of your stupid shock collar, and I've taken it off, and I don't want to deal with it anymore. And now, guess what? I'm telling everybody else to take their shock collars off. We don't have to be trained like a bunch of stinking lab rats. I mean, enough of this. You guys, thank you for waking up with us. By the way, Social Security is having a $32 trillion shortfall. I figured I'd never see it. Anyhow, I'm 60. A projection known as the Infinite Horizon takes into account all of the future program liabilities and even those beyond the 75-year period that Social Security actuaries typically use in their calculations. Under the Infinite Horizon, Social Security will have a $32 trillion in unfunded liabilities. I mean, guys, are you kidding me? It's just going to get worse and worse and worse until Cloward and Piven takes the country down. We've got to stop this. We have got to stop all of these giveaway programs. And when we've got to, and see, the thing about it, it's not Social Security that's bankrupting the government. It's the out of touch spending and having to borrow money from the Federal Reserve and getting money at interest that is never put into circulation, creating unpayable debt. That's what's doing this to the United States economy. That's what's doing it. If we could get rid of the Federal Reserve Bank and get some decent people in Washington that aren't controlled by the Federalist Society and all these nutbags that are up there, and get a decent program together and go back to states' rights and get states' militias going and have a military that's willing to come together in the event of a war and stop all of this insane spending, we can fix the country, go back to the way it was in 1776 to until about 1861 with Lincoln. We can fix it. We can put it back. But guys, if we don't do that, we're going to be down this slippery slope until the thing comes to a screeching end and it falls off a cliff. And that's where we're headed right now. It's a cliff, and when the brakes are locked, and guys, we're throwing out ropes and anchors trying to stop it, so let's all work together to do it. You know I'm right. We're throwing out grappling hooks now with ropes trying to stop the slide. everything we possibly could. That's why Donald Trump had enough of it. That's why he said no. Back in 1992, we should have listened to Ross Perot. We should have put him in the White House. He should have gotten a Republican nomination instead of that the ridiculous Bill Clinton back then. We should have stopped all of this mess and got into some type of fiscal normalcy as far as our spending. What's your next story, Oz?
This is interesting now. The GMO, basically, the genetically modified mosquitoes that have been released in Brazil already, and they're being discussed about releasing them in Florida. And we've already released GMO mosquitoes back in the 2000s down in Miami. They have a new batch they're wanting to release in Florida now to combat the Zika virus. Again, that's spiraling out of control, they said, even though they haven't found one single natural mosquito in nature in the state of Florida that has infected with Zika. It doesn't matter. They're still getting ready to release the GMO mosquitoes that they've released in Brazil now, which have the direct potential to inject modified DNA into any humans they bite. These lab-bred GM, they're called Aedes aegypti mosquitoes, according to Oxitec, which is the bio company that breeds them, are genetically programmed to mate with wild females and transfer a gene that is fatal to any offspring. But critics of the technique say too little is known about the potential for long-term environmental damage, as well as how humans will react to the injection of a gene if they are bitten by the specific mosquito. So, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Let's make genetically modified mosquitoes and just release them into the wild. We don't even know what they're going to do to the ecosystem, and we really don't know what they're going to do to human beings. But yeah, it's a good idea because we think there could be mosquitoes that have Zika in the state of Florida, even though we've never found them. Sounds like a great idea to me, man.
Well, okay, let me explain to you. But mosquitoes are flying hypodermic needles. All they are. Okay, that's all they are. They're a flying needle, and what they do, they've got a real long snout. They call a proboscis. That's what you call it in the insect world. It's called a proboscis. And what they do, they take that proboscis and they have like a. They anesthetize your arm so you don't feel it as they shove that proboscis down into you to suck your blood out, and you'll see them, they'll swell up with your blood. Here's the problem with all of this with mosquitoes. This is why they're such a nasty little creature to start with. The proboscis may have already had its snout stuck in somebody else's arm with blood that has AIDS or some other disease in that person. So what they do when they inject this into you with this anesthesia, they inject that proboscis with this contaminant into you. That's how all of these diseases are transmitted via mosquitoes. They're flying hypodermic needles. Now we're going to give a flying hypodermic needle a genetic modification, so if it breeds with another mosquito, everybody dies. Well, yeah, nothing could go wrong here. What's going to happen when they bite human beings? What's going to happen to our epigenetics? What are they going to do to us? I mean, are they going to try to bite us and we're going to go sterile? I mean, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but how do they know what's going to happen? They haven't tested these wacky little things on human beings, see what they would do. See, the biggest problem that you have in these double-blind clinical research studies is that you can't go in and try to create a double-blind study in which you're trying to give a human being brain cancer or withhold treatment for somebody who has brain cancer to see if aspartame causes brain cancer. So it doesn't work that way. You can't try to kill somebody in a study to see if the study works. That's why they're always using the animal studies. That's why they're always saying, well, that's never been proven on humans. They can't prove that stuff on humans because they can't ethically do the study because they can't be running around killing people. But these guys don't seem to get that, which comes to my next story. Key studies that are cited to prove vaccines are safe were funded almost entirely by the vaccine manufacturers. Duh. In a critical review of the scientific literature on vaccines, Brian Hooker carefully scrutinized the gross scientific flaws and blatant financial conflicts of interest that undermine the most commonly cited scientific studies which prove vaccines don't cause autism, which is a lie. They do. In a startling percentage of these studies, the scientists were either directly funded by vaccine manufacturers who stood to profit from vaccine safety, whitewashing, or served as highly paid expert witnesses to defend vaccine makers against lawsuits. What we really see in this critical review is a systemic pattern of fraud, criminal corruption, and the complete abandonment of research ethics in the relentless quest to prove the vaccines are safe and therefore force more victims and to sell more product. See, it's the same thing. People don't get that. When aspartame was approved, they had all of these studies that said it was safe. They even slammed them on 60 Minutes 20 years ago, and they said, but all your studies that say aspartame is safe were paid for by aspartame. All the studies that say they're not safe was paid for by other companies that don't sell the product. There's a conflict of interest here. That's what you've got to understand. Another story. Consumer Reports, by the way, which I'm done with them now, joins Big Pharma in going against dietary supplements. Cool. Consumer Reports article now claims dietary supplements put your health at risk simply because they're not regulated as drugs. What a lie. The article contains the same talking points as supported by the same experts as other hit pieces against vitamin supplements, making it obvious it is part of the parcel of the pro-pharma campaign to eliminate supplements. Data shows that adverse reaction to pharmaceutical drugs kills 62,000 times more people than you die from food supplements. Guys, I don't even know anybody who has ever died of a food supplement unless it was contaminated. And I don't even know those people. I've only read about them. I know a whole bunch of people that have died from pharmaceutical drugs. A bunch. Yep. And so the truth is, whatever. They don't want the competition. If you've got a natural blood sugar protocol like we have at Health Masters with dietary change, or natural healthy joint protocol, or healthy blood pressure protocol, all of these things that you do from a healthy standpoint to eat right and exercise and take supplements to correct a lot of these conditions, they don't want you to know about those conditions because they're not making any money in those conditions. And if they get rid of your disease, you don't need to buy their drugs anymore, and they don't make as much profit because you're a lab rat to them. You're an animal to them. They don't care anything about you. And once you understand that you're not part of their little private club, you know, George Carlin used to say it so succinctly, pardon his bad language, may he rest in peace. He used to say it so straight. He says, you're not invited to the club. You're not getting an invitation. This is the guys who want to poison us and kill us and do this to us all the time, every single day. These are the Sabbateans. These are the Rothschilds. These are the Council on 300. This is the Bilderberger Group. This is this is all these nutbags that are running the planet. You think they eat GMO foods? Of course not. You think they get the vaccines? Of course not. They don't do this stuff. They don't use the poison they give to the masses. Why would they possibly do that? They know the side effects. Guys, thank you for supporting Health Masters. We're out of time. Got to pontificate with you guys. I hope you enjoyed this show. God bless you guys. We love you. I appreciate you on tomorrow night with Hagman for the full 3 hours. Looking forward to it. Guys, thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for at least getting your multiple vitamins from us and getting your emails from us. I appreciate you guys. Love you. Austin, give it a close, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Yeah, we appreciate it, guys. Thank you for everything you do. Thank you for all the emails you send us. And, you know, again, I tell you guys this. If you got any topics you want us to bring up or anything you want us to address on the show, shoot me an email. We've got a lot of guys. You guys send me that all the time. I appreciate it. But we're here for you. If you need anything, call us, email us, healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed night, and we'll be on again with you guys tomorrow.